vote all of them back in. BOTT, not supposed to be political, and I just made it. But I thank God. My pastor, Pastor Mike Williams, I give you honor and thank you for that. And Terry, thank you for 30 years of serving here, helping us build this thing. I appreciate it. I have with me, this happened at 4:30 or 5 in my office. I felt led to do it. They stay in a safe. And I used to have them sitting out, not going through them a lot. But this is my daddy's Bible. And it's okay with him that I put a red bandana in it just for tonight. But I do know he believed in what the red bandana stood for. But when I open it up, you're welcome to look at it as long as you turn it real softly at the end. I went through some clergy records this afternoon because I don't get in this because I don't want to tear it up. But there's the clergy records from 1952. When I was 2 years old, he was preaching funerals here. And this is just a great Bible. It means a whole lot to me. And then so I went home. I started looking through the Bibles that I have in a little safe. I put them there because, and this is my grandfather Mangan. This is Walter Mangan. This is my father's daddy's Bible. And I don't go through it a whole lot, but somehow they had pages, and maybe some of you older people know, but there'd be like an empty page in here. Somehow they got it bound in there, and Mickey and I were sitting there, and I haven't been reading through this, and I started just reading. Mickey said, let's read that note right there. I mean, this just happened. I mean, right before Brother Bernard started preaching, and Grandpa Mangan wrote this with his writing. He said, a new broom sweeps the best, but it takes an old one to get into the corners. So, Gentry, you may sweep the best, but it takes an old one to get in the corners. You may be seated. Great job, choir. Isn't the music just fantastic? As a young man, some 6 decades ago, there was a little restaurant. In fact, I'll tell you how old it was. The man that owned it, Fuzzy's, it's where you got, man, the best flat poor boy in curlicues you could have. Mother and Daddy and I went there every Sunday night. And we went there to eat that flat boy. And sitting there, I listened to 2 preachers every Sunday night. Daddy played them every Sunday night. One was while we were eating our flat boy out. You head out where you ordered like Sonic, but it wasn't Sonic. They had people that came and waited on you. And we would listen to a bishop from Philadelphia, I believe, called Bishop Johnson. And Brother Bishop Johnson could preach. And then the other fella, and Mother, I don't know if you know this guy's name, but he would always, when Daddy and I and Mother would be listening, he'd always end his message with the old clock on the wall says it's time to go. So tonight, with the prophetic clock, I am going to take the first 2 minutes of my message to preach one of my daddy's old message. He would always go to 1 Corinthians 10:32. He'd say, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church. My dad preached this text saying that the Jew was the hour hand and they have had their day. And so he would take this hand and he would put it on that hour. And then he said that the minute hand was the Gentile church and the Gentiles have had their day. And dad would say that this old clock has ticked around and it has gotten on midnight. And then he said, the second hand is the church of the living God. And he taught us and he preached to us that when all 3 of those hands get on midnight, the trumpet of God is going to sound and the rapture is going to take place. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I don't want this to be a distraction, please. But beginning right now, through the rest of my message, you're going to hear a tick, and it's going to be a clock. And every time I pause, you're going to be hearing a click. If it distracts you, just have to distract you. But it's going to remind you of where we are. The trumpet of God's getting ready to sound, and there's something waiting on the church of the living God. It's a sobering fact that the generation of the leaders of Generation Z, we face a new alert. We face the possibility that at any moment, even in this meeting, that a suddenly mysterious evacuation could take place. An event without precedent will disrupt the business of our world and of 8 billion people who most of them do not know the Lord. And the stubborn understanding fact for all of us is we are the apostolic succession, and we are the ones that are responsible for reaching those 8 billion people. Every prophecy in the Old Testament he fulfilled. In the New Testament, 240 times in the New Testament alone. Over 300 verses he refers to his second coming. All but 4 of the 27 New Testament books refer to the return of Jesus Christ. 216 chapters deal with this subject. There is no truth more certain in the entire Bible than the personal, literal, imminent return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, 42, watch therefore. Mark 13, 35, watch therefore, for you know not. Matthew 25, the parable of the virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, but they all slumbered and slept. Watch, occupy till I come. Jesus is saying, lest coming suddenly he find us sleeping. Then he says, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Luke said, watching therefore, praying always that we may be accounted worthy to escape those things that are to come to pass. So on this first night of Because of the Times, which we believe will be the greatest meeting in our 39 years history, we are desperate people knowing we are living in desperate time with the prophetic clock of the church of dispensation ticking away. Knowing that time is short and what we're going to do, the church has to do it now. So we're gathered in this special place, a place where over half a century, and I'm going to brag on this place, and it won't be for mere Mickey or Gentry and Lex. It'll be because of my great father and mother. Because of a half a century ago, my father started 24 hours of a systematic prayer at this church where many come by every day and pray their prayer shift. And this place had become a place of unceasing prayer. 3 or 4 in the morning, you find somebody here at the church praying. So be assured from this place that thousands more beyond these walls, even to the utmost of the church age dispensation gospel, God called anointed preachers and speakers this week will hold this infallible book up and this God-preached book, this indestructible book by which they will stand upon and preach. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. What is that name? What is that name? Jesus. What is that name? Jesus. Would you praise that name? God's word declares in Zechariah that in the evening time there shall be light. So tonight we pray, O Lord, fulfill the prophetic word. The prophetic clock of the church age. I hope you can hear it ticking. The prophetic clock of the church age of this dispensation is ticking away. Let there be a sovereign, sweeping revelation of the only name under heaven whereby men must be saved. We preach the Holy Ghost. I remember the day and time when people thought only just a few were going to get it. And yet it's the fastest growing movement in the world. Pentecostalism is the fastest growing movement in the world. And just like the Holy Ghost fell, there's coming a revelation of baptism in the name of Jesus, just as the Holy Ghost. So be assured, the next two nights and 2 days, we will boldly declare. We will be able to say with the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, we are free from the blood of all men. For we have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God to every kindred, tongue, nation, and tribe and people. And that is the main event. That is the major enterprise of the church since the day of Pentecost. And until the rapture of the church, we cannot be static and we cannot be status quo. The church cannot stand still. We must occupy until he comes. We're the church, the fullness of him that filleth in all things. It is the central object of the goal of the universe. Jesus intended to be a permanent, powerful force. He deputized to act in his stead. He delegated us legal authority to operate in his stead. He said you can have a revival, praying, worshiping, witnessing, soul winning, world mission giving revival. To those of you that's not part of the United Pentecostal Church, we're so glad that you are here and that you are part of us. Whether you are left of us or whether you are right of us, we're glad you're here. We're so glad to have everybody here worshiping with us in this meeting. But to you great United Pentecostal Church leaders, to our department head leaders, to you, Brother and Sister Bernard, I give great honor to you. For we just gave in all the men's name that Gentry listed of department heads, we just gave the largest offering to world missions in the history of the United Pentecostal Church. Terry, that's going to break something loose. That's going to tear something down. When we start giving our pocketbooks, when we start laying our money on the altar, you watch what God does. Listen, if we can't have this, if we can't have apostolic worship, praising, praying, and giving, without this, we're simply operating on a religious treadmill. We're going nowhere and think we're running everybody down and we're doing nothing. If we're not giving and worshiping and praying and having revival and evangelizing and reaching and preaching and teaching, we're doing nothing. We are to be a first century church in the 21st century. Until no one knows. It's the best kept secret in the world, the rapture of the church. But be ready. There's more prayer in the book of Acts than there are miracles. So when we get to praying, we're going to see the kind of revival that they saw in the book of Acts. They filled their cities with apostolic doctrine. They turned their world upside down. They shook the Roman Empire. They lit a light of this glorious gospel in every corner of the vast domain until they crumbled it. They knew the church was the trustee and the steward of the gospel of Christ. And nothing but death stopped them. There is nothing like prayer. Forgive me. I ask for forgiveness, but I'm going to get carnal and talk about football just a moment. 2 weeks ago, Damar Hamlin struck in the chest. The heart stops. Wasn't it amazing that every teammate and the other team, didn't matter, atheist, Muslim, whatever, to their knees. Some talking in tongue maybe. Some maybe doing this. I don't know what they were doing. But one thing we do know, they had the attention of God, had the attention of every man and woman that were watching that game. Take us back to prayer, oh God. Let there be a prayer revival that strikes us. We don't have long. The hour's ticking. The clock is ticking. The clock is going. We got to be ready. It's getting rapture time. You may be seated. I'm so glad that I'm not glad it happened. I know probably football player DeMar is not happy me saying this, but maybe he is. But it changed everything. Josh Allen, the quarterback from the Buffalo Bills, with tears running down his eyes. There's nothing like prayer. He said, we gathered together and we held hands and we prayed. He said, and I'm convinced the reason why he's alive is because we knew how to pray. He called everybody's attention. Sean McDermott, the coach of the Buffalo Bills, who I found out, and you have found out since, who is a very strong Christian, brings that team together and prays over them. And he just doesn't pray a simple prayer. If you'll read and study him, he prays in the name of Jesus. There's a revival of prayer. And when America starts praying, something's gonna break loose. There's gonna be a revelation of that name. When America goes to her knees, there's gonna be prayer. Be assured tonight, we're going to hear a voice. You're going to hear a voice in this meeting. Now, some have come here on top of the world. I got some in a gang that we run with in Louisiana that Mickey and I meet with them 3 or 4 times a year. Some of them are having the greatest revival they've ever had, and some of them have gone through some of the biggest junk that they've ever gone through. COVID did a number on all of us. Well, COVID did a number on some of us. But above all COVID, one of our district superintendents called me. He didn't give me the privilege to give his name, but he called and said, we had plans on being there, but there's a new strain of COVID out, and my wife and I got it Friday, and we've tested positive for this new strain of COVID. It's the flu. Not really. Gentry, I just got in trouble. Sorry, I had it twice, so I can say that. Oh, you can't get it twice, that's right. I had it once, then I had the flu the second time. And that's not a reflection on those. We've lost people in our church with it now, and I pray about that. But with the clashing of arms and with COVID and wars and rumors of wars and the epidemic of violence and bloodshed and in a divided world where iniquity abounds, that pastor hit and the love of many are waxing cold. You hear, if you've ever heard me in 39 years or any ever place I preach, the Holy Ghost and the Antichrist. Now you may be different than me in prophecy, and if you believe different than me, you have the right to be wrong. So I'm not going to touch that, but what I believe is the Antichrist ain't more powerful than the Holy Ghost. And the Antichrist can't do nothing till the Holy Ghost allows him to do it. You can't do nothing, Antichrist. So tonight, you will hear a voice calling every pastor and local church and every minister. the evangelists to higher heights, to our honored officials. We will be ignited and reunited with a holy flame of intercessory prayer that will wake up every apostolic church in succession in this great movement to a mighty fervent prayer revival like this apostolic church has never seen. And the malignant forces of hell in the world spread like a prairie fire. There's gonna be a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost of wind until this church goes forth as bright as the sun, as fair as the moon, and we're as bad as an army with banners. The church, the intended bride of Christ. Let me tell you who you are. You're the Lamb's wife. From all eternity, God's purpose. This hit me this afternoon, and I never preached this just like this. But all the purpose he would have for his eternal companion, the bride, the Lamb's wife. When you look at what follows the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we get with the great men and women of God, and we have the whole purpose and the climatic gold, and we look at it and we understand the reason why there's a Genesis 1:1, and the reason why there's the last chapter of the book of Revelation. It's for all one reason. It was to get him a bride. I thank God for everybody else, but he had this book is for one reason. From there, Daddy, I don't want to tear up your Bible, but from there to there, it's one reason to get himself a bride that is called by his name. And I'm part of that bride. I'm in that church, the church that is triumphant. I am in that church. We're the finished product of the ages. He didn't leave it to Simon, Peter, or Paul. Told him last night in our great meeting. Seemed like he'd have left two or three of those guys around with us. But he said, I don't have to have them. I got you. And you're gonna be just as great in your ministry as they were in theirs. And I thank God for the book of Acts, and I thank God for every man that's in it. But I'm here to declare that there are men and women of God that's in this room that can rank with the apostles and prophets of the Old Testament. Where's Curtis? Well, why aren't you sitting where you're supposed to be sitting? I can't see you. Where are you? There you go. Well, there, give me that. Now, I've done preach one message with this in my hand, but I'm going to reference it. I told you I was carnal tonight, but I'm going to reference it. And if you'll look at this for just a moment and see this as the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's our job to score. And let me declare to you, the 2-minute warning has been given. Our poor old saints down here. Tom Brady comes to town. We're ahead 13 points with 5 minutes left in the game. And Brady gets the ball, scores. They hold us. Brady gets the ball again, scores. And the Giants beat the Saints. All except it was the Buccaneers. 5 minutes. Carnal again. In the same week, with a minute 45, Baker Mayfield, who had joined the Los Angeles Rams on a Tuesday and was playing in a Sunday game, gets the ball on his own 2-yard line with one timeout, goes 98 yards, scores the winning touchdown. With 1 minute, 45 seconds, and one timeout, he scores. If Tom Brady and Baker Mayfield can go the length of the field in 2 minutes, the church ought to be able to have the greatest revival with the gospel in our hands. But the devil's got a good defense. See, we were playing offense. We like to score. We're apostolics. We go. We're going to get multitudes. We're going to have revival. But when you get near the goal line, the defense toughens up. And he runs 3 defenses. He's got 3 different defenses that he's trying to stop this offensive church from scoring. One is that old devil the hordes of demons that's coming against us and fighting our homes, coming against us with depression and oppression, fighting things in our church, allowing spirits to get loose in our church that don't belong there, fighting us with the pandemic, fighting against our children, fighting every way he can fight, coming against us every way he can come against us. He's throwing every defense he can throw. In fact, he's using every blitz he's got. Number two defense he's got is the Antichrist, that world beastly system, the mystery of iniquity and rebellion. No law can stop it. Never. Pastor Gentry, seemed like we compared notes and we didn't, but America is very divided. Europe is divided. The king and queen's being mocked. Harry has now written a book called Spare, and it's become the number one seller. Things are crumbling. It seems like it's getting worse. The shadow of the Antichrist is lengthening, and they're going to accept him, because just like our bishop preached to us that we need unity, you won't find too many demons and devils that's not unified. It's going to be so much so that the Bible says the Jews are going to make a covenant with him. That's pretty strong when you can deceive the Jews. They're going to make a covenant with him. If you want to read about it, you can study the book of Daniel and he would talk about it. Then the third thing we're going to face is false prophets and false religions and false gods who will give power to the Antichrist when he appears, who ultimately doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven. The Bible said in the last day, even the very elect will be deceived. He is going to use a question that he used from the very beginning of time when he deceived Adam and Eve. He's going to begin with, hath God said? If he can get us questioning this book, then he can get us questioning our doctrine. If he can get you questioning this book, then he can get you questioning your holiness. If he can get you questioning this book, if he's got you on question, then he's got us moving. But as long as we can believe that this is the infallible word of God, and upon this rock everything stands and everything falls, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it, it's the church. These three mighty forces are using their powers to try to block, to try to hinder, to try to oppose, to try to tackle us and knock down before we score. They're blitzing us. The apostolic church, we have the gospel. We're ready for the revival of all revival in the midst of the nights of all nights. So tonight, with the keynote, be assured we have the guarantee of Jesus Christ with all of heaven, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's a sweet lady that comes by this church every day to pray. She has never written to me. She has never written to me, especially this kind of stuff. But this week she wrote to me and she said, Bishop, when I came by, the church to pray, said the doors were open and they were working in there. And she said, I looked and there were two angels that were standing by every seat in the congregation. She said, one of those angels was a warring angel and the other angel was a ministering angel. Said, and then I looked and there were warring angels that were put at the doors of those church for every demon or devil or doubt that may try to come against those that come from a refreshing and because of the times. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you believe in it or not, but I believe in angels. What angel's gonna bind him and throw him in a bottomless pit? Young people believe it. PKs believe it. What angel will bind him? Let me tell you, there's no power of man. There's no persecution. There's no schism or schism. There's no apostasy. There's no infidel's mouth. There's no antichrist. There's no false prophet. There's nothing that can stop the church of the living God. We're a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You don't allow your fears to get a hold of you. You got something far greater inside of you than any devil or demon ever thought he had. The Caesars couldn't stop it. The lions of the Colosseums couldn't stop it. Nothing has been able to conquer or swallow up the church. We've been through this and we've been through that. We've been through former rain. We've been through latter rain. We've been through getting teeth filled. We've been through everything you can go through. But the church is still here. We're stronger than we've ever been. It's more powerful than it's ever been. The church is still standing. And I know that at the top of your list has been Ukraine. They've had to flee. People's had to scatter. Brother Sergei and Sister Veronica of Ukraine, I've tried to stay close to them. Our church has given around $60,000, $70,000, and you have given. How many has given to Ukraine? Would you raise your hand? If you haven't, send an offering over there. Well, you're not going to have to. God's going to use me tonight somewhere or another, I think. I tried to stay close to them. They've been bombed. Bombs all around them. Bombs hitting everywhere. I talked to him. Bombs everywhere. But his house nor their church ever got bombed. So I was praying last week, and Brother Bernard, I'm starting with you because you're boss, but I thought it'd be neat if we could FaceTime with him, don't you? Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it, Sister Connie, be great if we could FaceTime with him? Wouldn't that be great? Is it okay if I bring him up on FaceTime? Y'all care if I bring him up and we FaceTime with him? Can you catch Gentry? Brother Sergei, Sister Veronica, come into the house.
Greetings to all of you. My name is Sergei Tomev, and I'm pastor in Kyiv, Ukraine.
Brother Bernard, I ask y'all to please forgive me. Brother Hal, y'all just have to, don't get on me, I'm gonna hold it out of my mission offering, if you do. I didn't tell no one this was happening. Nobody knew this but Mickey and four or five of our staff people, because I thought it'd mean as much to us then. And as of last Thursday, we didn't know if they was gonna be able to get out of the country because he has to serve in the military. But I think it's just fantastic that I've got somebody here to tell you that the gates of hell, in the midst of all the bombing, can't stand up against the church of the living God.
God deserves all the glory. He is the King. I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a great honor, Bishop Mengen. Thank you. General Superintendent, all the global missions, all United Pentecostal Church, thank you for your support. On behalf of the churches of Ukraine and Ukrainian people, we want to thank you for all the support and all the prayers you have shown us.
Yeah.
I want to tell you that God hears every prayer you pray. Every prayer. When the war started, something changed I never felt God so close. The angels, I could feel the angels of God surrounding me. And every church member. And everywhere we went, God was with us. I brought a piece of a bomb. When they explode, pieces like this fly all over the place. The house on the left of my house was bombed. Damages on the right. My house has nothing. Hallelujah. The church in Odessa, Bishop Bernard, you were there. A rocket flew over and exploded. The building behind the church got damages. Nothing happened to the church building. Hallelujah. It's not about the church building just. I want to say that those buildings are packed with people. We're seeing revival like never before. Most of the times, no electricity, no water, cold buildings,
no water.
But people are coming to the churches.
Tell us.
Just in the past 6 months, we've seen over 2,000 visitors first time in our Kyiv church. Over 70 people went through Bible studies, 12 lessons. In Ukraine, collectively, we've seen baptized just in the past 6 months around 50 people. Hallelujah. God is fighting for us.
Yes.
God is on our side.
Yes.
And when Jesus said to Peter, yes, Peter, upon this rock I shall yes build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. It's true. Every word in this Bible is a true word. Hallelujah.
Go ahead, preach.
I want to tell you, in these last days, don't be afraid.
No.
Don't be afraid.
No.
Because for every challenge, for every season, God gives a new anointing, a new power. Nothing can stop the church of Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Well, we don't want to get a shout. Ain't nothing gonna stop the church. It's the church of the living God. You can't stop the church. Bombed all around him. The house on his left, the house on his right. But the blood covered the house. He can't stop the church. I lift my voice. You may be seated. Whoa, it's hard to go after that one. So as for me, I take my stand. I'm gonna keep on standing where I've been. No devil in hell or out of hell. No antichrist system, no false prophet or false religion, no compromise in the doctrine or separation can muster any opposition or attack that can stop the church of the living God. The Holy Ghost is militant. It's the chief vicar. It is the greatest outpouring of the Spirit that we have ever seen. And the Holy Ghost must take over our churches. You won't understand this. Younger people, those of you probably under 40, maybe even gentry, you won't understand this because you don't understand, gentry, what at your age, that in the United Pentecostal Church that we fought over. We had to fight, I remember, at a because of the times. There was a great debate over whether we could have the gifts of the Spirit. There was a great debate on whether there was apostles and prophets in our organization. That was in the United Pentecostal Church. That wasn't in some foreign organization. That was in the United Pentecostal Church. And we were debating whether they were there in the gifts of the Spirit. And I remember Billy Cole, you know, he's just walking his little seven. He's up here preaching one time. And he said, we're going to have the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to have tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. We're going to have dreams and visions. And we're going to see things in the Spirit. And God's going to be with us. And if you don't like it, if you want to fight, I'm ready to fight. And we got some fight after you thought you got criticism last year. You should have heard what I got after that. We wanted to fight, we got to fight. And now, at our general conference on Friday night, the fivefold ministry operates in our congregation. We've got apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers operating in one service at our general conference. At our general conference. Would somebody say general conference? On Friday night, the fivefold ministry operated. That's why you need to go to general conference. I told the gentry, I said, I'm preaching. He scared me to preach. I wasn't telling him I was preaching. He gives me that authority, but I didn't. I said, next time I preach gentry on Wednesday night, I said, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. I don't know what's going to happen. He said, okay, just do what you feel led. And this was just, I mean, this was what, 3-4 months ago. And I looked out and what a good crowd on that Wednesday night. And I got through and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what my daddy used to do. Getting ready to have a prayer line. And I said, don't anybody leave. I said, usher, stand in front of those doors and lock them. And me and Gentry, and I put I did what daddy and mother did. I put six ladies on this side, and I put six men on this side. And we brought them through, and they'd throw them from side to side. And if you wasn't anointed, you got thrown anyway. So they'd just throw them till they got to us, then we anointed them, and they fell out or got mad, went home after that. They'd do what they wanted to do. But we had what we called a prayer line, because you can't operate without the Holy Ghost. Brother Joel Urshan preached for this church Sunday morning. It's a masterpiece. You need to hear it when you get home. It was a masterpiece. But when we went out to eat, we were discussing the things that we are discussing and how that the Holy Ghost and the power of God has moved and operated, and how his grandfather and my father, they operated in that zone, gentry. That's the way we operate around here. It was in the gifts of the Spirit. I read something last week on Twitter before I was on Echophone. It went out, so I'm all messed up now, so I hadn't been tweeting nothing. Ravenhill said, a Christian church without the supernatural is superficial. He said, I don't care how eloquent the preacher is. I don't care how big your Sunday school is. I don't care if you have more buses on the ground than they have at the bus station. The devil's not scared of your buses. But what he is afraid of is the operation of the Holy Ghost and the demonstration of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit operating. That's what he's afraid of. You may be seated, but just as loud as you can scream. If you don't mind, put 1 Corinthians 2 and 4 up there for me. And I want you to quote it with me just as loud as you can quote it. 1 Corinthians 2 and 4. Would you? For out anguish of heart wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love and that you have it more abundantly. 1 Corinthians 2 and 4. 10 and 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in the demonstration of the Spirit of God. And Brother Urshan said, we've got young men now that Brother Bernard has taught us and his books have raised us. But now we've got young men that can explain our doctrine and our belief as well as any generation that there has been, because they've got a doctrinal understanding of the Word of God. And you let me tell you something, there's nothing like preaching, there's nothing like teaching, and there's nothing like leadership training. I led by example. I failed by doing the kind of leadership that I should have done through the years, but somehow it got done. God used it and it happened. But I'm going to tell you, you can have everything you want, but if it's minus the demonstration and the power of the Holy Ghost, we've got sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. First Thessalonians 1 and 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much. You want to be assured? There it is right there. through the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, you will have much assurance. You want to know how to leave here assured? Leave here in the demonstration and the power and the operation of the Holy Ghost. Leave here with the gifts of the Spirit operating. Brother Cunningham texted Mike and I looked at it yesterday and I gave it to our speakers and sponsors, the general board last night. He wrote on January 1 at 3:59 Central Time. He said, God spoke to me that every challenge in 2023 is going to be answered by the supernatural hand of the Lord. We should look for it. We should expect it. We should receive it when it happens. God told me that the prayers of the saints, the dead and the alive that are bottled up in heaven, are going to be opened up and answered in 2023. And then he said to Mike and me, to my pastor and me, excuse me, didn't mean to cuss you there. You can take those two things to the bank. God's gonna do it for you in 23. So you know what I've been doing? I was doing that before, but I've been calling the prayers of my daddy. And I've been saying, if you did it for my daddy, you did it for my grandfather, if you did it for this Bible and you did it for that Bible, you're gonna do it for my Bible. If you did it for their generation, you're gonna do it for my generation. It's multiplying around the world. We're reaching every kindred, tongue, nation, and people. Her light is shining brighter than it has ever shined. Her voice, the church, is being heard around the world, declaring the only saving gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come. The last hour belongs to the apostolic church. And Pastor Gentry, what you preached is true, but I'm adding more to it. We're gonna see what they saw, but we're gonna see more than what they saw. Because the Bible said in the last days, Charles, that he's gonna give us an apostolic revival like we had never seen. And if you don't like that, if you wanna fight, let's fight. But we're gonna believe in apostolic revival. You may be seated. You're down, get up. You came here discouraged, get up. You came here not wanting to go another day, get up. Look at Sergi here, get up. Together we can do this. My father told me, he said, don't let all the people that come and go bother you. He said, they're always coming and going. He said, you and your mother worry too much. He said, you just look at him and say, you see that door? You just let it hit your backside. He said, because we need your seat. He said, we're gonna have a revival. Don't you let people get you down. Don't you let people get you discouraged. Don't you let people dissatisfy you. Don't you let people control you. It's ticking. Clock is ticking. It's all about this is the church. The church of the living God. We're moving towards the midnight hour and we're gonna have the revival of all revivals. It's all in place. Gentry preached my message. Brother Bernard preached my message. Here we go, and I'm gonna back up Brother Bernard 100% in pardoning. The Bible said we are going to be quickened together. He said we're gonna be raised up together. He said we're gonna be made to sit together in heavenly places. Then he said, we're gonna be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. We can't make this by ourselves. We gotta be together. We gotta be united. We gotta be arm in arm. We got to be together. Every church is gonna have revival. Every church can have revival. The backsliders are coming back home. We're strong and together. Backsliders, I'm going after them. I don't care who they are. They're prodigals. I'm going to tell you who else I want to try to influence. Anybody that believes what we believe that left us. If you left us because we're not strong enough, come on back. We're getting stronger. If you left us because we was too strong, come on back. We're not getting less, but we'll help you. But before that, everybody, oh, the father stayed at home, prodigal son. No, he didn't. He stayed at home until the prodigal son started heading home. But when the prodigal son started heading home, he didn't stay at home. The Bible said he ran to meet him. And tonight, I don't care who they are, and I don't care what they've done. I don't care where they've come from. I'm going to run to meet anybody or anything. Go after that man or woman of the church. Run! The prophetic clock is ticking. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're going on. Sorry about all you that think we're dying. Go to Colorado. It's a great place to live. Get you a cave in the mountain and hibernate. But for the rest of us, we're going to go to Colorado and snowboard and snow ski and then come back home and have revival. Mother, would you come here just a minute? Yeah, you. She don't have any idea I'm doing this. And understand she'll be 97 anymore. Come on, Mother, tonight. Isn't she beautiful? We'll talk about it tomorrow.
You're just great.
Oh, well, thank you. I tell you, my daddy and I loved each other. Me and my mama like that.
Yeah.
I told the church I got y'all through daddy, but something happened to her. Y'all gonna have to get me through this. So the other day I said, Mother, not that I think anything's gonna happen, but I don't want anything on me. And I'm advising all of you to do this. And it don't matter if you're 20 years old or whatever. I've done it with Mickey. Mickey's done it with me. We know everything. There'll be no little on me. So Mother and I said, Mother, we're going to Hickson Brothers Funeral Home. And we're gonna pick out your casket. And we're gonna fill out all them papers. I don't know who your great grandmother's on your mother's side and that second kissing cousin. I don't know all them names. And I don't have time to fill all that. So I said, you just tell me what you want done, and we're going to do it. She said, okay. And I wrote it down, Mother. She said, here she goes. I wrote it. My outstanding, more than wonderful son, you're our miracle only child. Me and your daddy wasn't supposed to have a child, but your daddy and I fasted and prayed. He told me he's just going to give me a season, and in that season we had you. He wanted to have revival, but he sure was glad he had you. He said, that Mickey, she said, she's multi-gifted. She's anointed wife. I wrote it down. She's captured this city and she's captured her generation. She said, then God's given you Mike, Jeff, even Gibson. We're so glad you're here tonight, buddy. And said, he's given you wonderful grandchildren. They've all received the Holy Ghost and been baptized in Jesus' name. We rejoice over that. And then he's given you Gentry and Lexi and Isabel and Gad, who is now my beloved pastor and his wife and children, my grandchildren and greats. He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, however many comes to my funeral, she said, now Mother, if I'm not telling this right, you can stop me. But she said, when you come to that funeral and everybody gets seated and they did through everything and they all getting ready to start. She said, I want you to get your family and my family and I want you to get to that back door. And I want y'all to come down that middle aisle, and I want you to be singing this. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is tramping out the vineyard where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning, and I tear a swift sword. His
truth is marching on.
So glory!
That's what I want.
We're going to do it. We just don't want to do it anytime
that's
soon.
That's all I care that's done. This truth, marching on.
We're going to do it, Mother. We just don't want to do it today.
This truth.
We want you to stay around. Oh, that truth's going to march on.
This truth is marching on.
It's going to march on. We're going to sing it. We're going to celebrate. But just don't think about going anytime soon. Then she said, me and your daddy's going to be waiting on you on the other side. She said, but when you're gone, she said, you've been known for your passion of souls. She said, don't you let anybody or anything take away a passion for lost souls.
That's it.
You keep your burden and you keep Gentry and you keep this
lost
church
souls.
On hurting, oh. Hungry, homeless, helpless souls. So pastor, as long as we have a voice, we're going to reach for the hurdy, we're going to reach for the hungry, we're going to reach for the homeless, and we're going to reach for the helpless. You may be seated. And I'm done. HL, would you run up here real quick? This guy's name's HL. Come here. Now, let me tell you about HL. Last year, I hadn't won a soul, and I was all disturbed with myself, and I don't know when it was. Well, October, when was it? You and I met at Esterville.
October 12th.
Yeah, when?
October 12th.
October 12th. You got
Wednesday
it down.
Night.
Wednesday night. Okay. We were at the luggage together. He came over to me. He said, well, you, Reverend Bang? I said, yeah. He said, man, my good friend Larry came to church, and he's become a member of your church. He didn't know everything then. He said, I've been raised, and he called the nomination. We won't do that here. He called the nomination. He said, I've been a missionary with that organization. He said, I've gone to, was it Africa? Where'd you go?
Kenya.
Kenya. Went to Kenya with that organization. And I said, well, that's just wonderful. I said, those are great people, and they love God. I said, but I want to tell you, there's another step that can really change your life. He said, well, let's hear about it. I said, I'm going to let you hear about it. And I talked to him about baptism in Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost. And I said, HL, I want you to come to church. And he said, well, okay. I said, but before then, because he had had one or two, and he was... he was feeling real good. In fact, about every day he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It was wrong. But I took him to 7s when they had their symposium, and he sat there with me, and he left and probably went and got a drink. But then he came to church that next Sunday, and the power of God began to fall. What day was that?
October 30th, you baptized me in Jesus' name.
I got my soul! He was drunk, but now he gets drunk on the Holy Ghost. He talks in tongues. He's in the bride. Go, HL. Maybe one more story and I'm done. You may be seated. Dwayne, would you come up here? Dwayne Bergeron, come stand right beside me because I'm going to have to read most of this. It's an unbelievable guy right here. You don't have to clap because you don't know what he's done. Don't clap. I just say he's a good guy. So what? Wait till you know what he's done. First of all, then you clap. I love y'all. We're such great people. We don't even care what they've done. Yay! Thank you, Jesus. He split our church last week. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Dwayne Bergeron loves people. Every Saturday, he ministers to the less fortunate and homeless people in our city. Every Saturday, unless it's just simply weather not permitting. Recently, he purchased a piece of property. And not long after purchasing that piece of property, he found a homeless man living in his building. And it made him mad. He lost his religion. He told the man to leave and get off of my property and never return. I told you he was clapping before you knew what I was going to say. Dwayne said, I went home. And I went to bed that night. And I could not sleep because I was convicted by my actions towards him. The following day, I woke up early. He said, I went back to the streets and I started searching for him. He said, and I started looking for him. I didn't know who he was. I just wanted to find the him that I kicked out of my building, that he was homeless. And he said what he didn't know at the time was this guy had had his house burned down. His son died. His health had failed him. And the tragic events left him homeless, without hope, without despair. And as Andrew said it, without community, which is the church. And this man became an alcoholic that took him into depression, to where he attempted suicide and wanted to die. But later that day, after kicking him out of the building and not sleeping, after turning the city upside down and going to a place where all the homeless people hang out in Alexandria, Dwayne found him and he took him to the store and he bought him clothes. And he took him to our hotel and he bought him a hotel room for quite a few days. And he started having fellowship with him. Their relationship grew. And now they go to breakfast every week. That him has since been baptized in Jesus' name. And Dwayne said, after I started taking care of him, God started blessing me with work enough, work completely to pay. I paid cash for the building I purchased, which was the building in which him was living. Brothers and sisters, sweet men and women of God, let me introduce you to him. Will, our homeless man, would you come here? Is that a picture? Helpless. Homeless. Okay. Your reward in heaven will be great. Because you love helpless, hurting, homeless people. You have gotten many and you will get many more. But this one, the Bible said, is worth the whole world. And he don't miss a church on Sunday, very seldom. You'll look at POA and he'll be sitting right over there behind the sound booth every Sunday. Homeless, helpless, but saved. We're light. You can bring the lights down and we're getting ready to go either to our seats or to our knees. But what you may not have recognized, that beside you, underneath every seat, is light. Would you reach under there and would you grab your light? And would you turn on light? That's us in a dark world. This is us. 8 billion people. Now, however you want to pray, if you want to leave, feel free to leave. But I would to God there would be an intercession. You may be seated and you can do from there what you would like to do. But I pray for God there would be intercessory prayer for 8 billion. Keep this going if you would, please. Keep this light. Set it on the front of your pew if you kneel. Leave here with it tonight, shining. When you go in the parking lot, take it home and put it on your church desk. Put it in your car. And remember, everywhere you go, you're like, my sweet brothers and sisters, this church service is yours. Through praying tonight, you feel free to leave, but we will not dismiss this service. Service starts in the morning at 9:30, I believe it is. But we will not end this service. Let the travail of the saints continue to cry out. Let there be a revival that begins to happen. Let the travail of the church begin to shine. That's it, young people, that's it. That's it, pastors. That's it. I am light. In a dark world, in a divided world, I am light. 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 I am light.